and thank you so much for tuning in to your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. The next legislative session is underway, and joining us this morning to tell us how things are going and what is coming up ahead is Representative Dan Ortiz. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria. Glad to be with you this morning. How are things in Ketchikan? They're a little cloudy and rainy here in Juneau. What are we looking at in Ketchikan?
Slightly foggy. Not as bad as yesterday where it was very dense, but a bit foggy, and I believe they say chance of rain today. So
there you go. Always a chance.
I think there definitely is. And right now you are speaking to us from Juneau.
I am. Right now I'm up in my office and happy to be with you this morning.
So
much rather be in Ketchikan in person, but still happy to be with you here from my Juneau office.
All right. And the session has started and it hasn't been going that long, but what has been happening so far?
Well, basically, we're beginning the process of when I say we, I'm a member of the Finance Committee, and we're just beginning to have our sub-Finance Committee meetings where we're looking at the individual agency budgets. I'm the sub-finance chair for Department of Education, also for DEC, and also I'm for transportation. And so we had our first Department of Education meeting yesterday. But the point is, we're just now starting the budgetary process, and particularly on the Finance Committee, our duty is to, in each of the subcommittees, is to take a look at the governor's budget, suggest and move forward amendments to that budget that we think would be a more appropriate way of executing that particular agency's budget. And then those would then be passed on to the full Finance Committee for an up or down vote on the changes that we would make in the subcommittee. So to kind of put it another way, we're just kind of getting up and running, and we started that process in fullness yesterday, and I have several more meetings this week where I have subcommittee meetings where we begin that same thing with Department of Transportation and Department of Environmental Conservation. And then on a broader sense, we've had two floor sessions, and in those floor sessions, we read across the new bills that are being introduced this particular session. Those bills were assigned to committees. So we're up and running and able to get right down to the state's business with the beginning of our session, which officially began on the 18th.
Are there any bills in particular that stand out of interest to those in Southern Southeast?
Well, I'm particularly interested myself in a bill called HB 41, which puts in the framework, the parameters for new projects in the area of mariculture to be advanced. And it sets up the framework for how Fish and Game and the other agencies that are in the permitting process, how they proceed to get these projects actually up and running with the state permits that need to be done in order for them to happen. So that's a particular piece of legislation that I've had on the books for a couple of sessions, and it's just harder than I thought it would have been from the beginning, because there's hardly anybody that would say that mariculture is not an area or should continue to be an area where we try to advance the state's economy, take advantage of renewable resources, and take advantage of markets that are there for Alaskan seafood products all around the world, and particularly in Asia. Everybody says that that's a new area where we could advance our economy, but when it comes down to the specifics of how we're going to do that, it seems to be a little harder than what I thought in relationship to getting that piece of legislation through both bodies. The last legislative session, I got HB 41 all the way up through the House and then over to the Senate, and it got as far as the Senate Finance, where it pretty much died for lack of time, and died because there was one senator who had a little problem with one particular aspect of that piece of legislation. So now that's where it sits at this point, and we've asked for a committee hearing in that Senate sub-finance committee to get that bill move forward. Hopefully we'll be able to do that and get that bill passed early in the session. And that's, again, in the name of mariculture, development of mariculture, and to help develop that industry, hopefully to, you know, it's the vision of the mariculture folks to get that to a $1 billion a year industry. The fishing industry right now is about worth $6 billion a year annually. And if we could add another billion through mariculture enhancement, that'd be great. So that's one thing. You know, on a broader sense, obviously the governor's budget in relationship to such things as the Alaska Marine Highway System is something that should be of note and of interest to most folks in Southeast Alaska and in Western Alaska. That's has my particular attention as the sub-finance chair of the Department of Transportation, where the Marine Highway Department sits, and other types of things, you know, other than the budget. You know, it just depends on any particular person's interest. I know some people in the Ketchikan area are interested in a time change bill that I have introduced, which basically would say, if it were to be passed, would keep Alaska on daylight savings time all year round. So we wouldn't do the switchback that takes place in the fall of the year. We wouldn't roll back our clocks in the fall of the year. We would just stay on daylight savings time all year round. But that's a bigger piece of legislation in terms of it involves more bodies. It would require the U.S. Federal government to authorize that change. It would also require that Western states like Washington and Oregon would need to adopt similar changes in order for the federal government to adopt that overall change. That's a bigger, kind of a heavier lift, you know, that's of interest to some people. I've heard from some of my constituents that, you know, they don't see the real point in making that switch every year. And, you know, so that's some people's perspective, but I haven't really, to be honest with you, Maria, I haven't really thrown that out there to the broader public in a way where, you know, I don't think I've given ample enough time to hear from all of my constituents on how they might feel about that kind of a change to our clocks and to our system of what we've done for years and years and years. And some people might not be happy with that. And if they're not, then I wouldn't be so interested in advancing the legislation. So anyway, those are some things that are happening, but and if you have any further questions about that or anything else, fire away.
Okay. Let me ask about the Alaska Marine Highway System. I know a lot of people are very concerned about its fate. What do you get any impressions? I mean, again, I know it's early in the whole process, but do you get any impressions of if there's support for funding it further through the legislature?
Okay. Yes, I do. And here's the thing. One of the big game changers that has taken place since the last legislative session, last year's legislative session, is let's roll back. In the last legislative session, due to federal funding, mainly due to federal funding, ARPA funding, or ARP funding, depending on which acronym you use, we in the legislature were able to set it up so that the Marine Highway System operations were forward funded for 18 months, which was a big step up, positive step, because what that said was for 18 months, if the Marine Highway knows that they're solid with their funding and operations for 18 months going into the future, then they can submit a schedule that everybody can rely on. There's not going to be any question about what's going to happen, as far as 18 months in advance, so that people can do advanced bookings, so that people can, and basically begin to use the Marine Highway System the way that they used to do it when the question of funding support for the Marine Highway System wasn't there, you know, years ago. So we made that advance last year. This year, we've been further enhanced through greater opportunity through the work primarily of Senator Murkowski, where she was able to tack on to that major infrastructure bill that passed funding for the Marine Highway System, both operation funding and funding for capital improvements to the Marine Highway System in terms of to the different ships, putting staterooms on those small ferries, construction of the new Tustee, all those kinds of things. There's a lot of money there, Maria. And again, this is not because somehow the state was able to show more support with more funds, but this was just purely the work of Senator Murkowski and making available federal funding to do both operations and, fleet refurbishment in whatever way we see fit. And it also, I think, included funding for somebody in the state to construct an electric ferry so that we can begin to perhaps use our look at how we can update our entire marine transportation infrastructure by perhaps looking at electric operated ferries that maybe might be in existence. If the marine highway system is in existence 20 years from now, who knows what percentage of the fleet might be entirely electric. I know that the technology in that area is changing and it's getting better and better and better. And so within that bill, there's funding for the state to construct its first electric ferry. That may not go to the marine highway system. It might go to group on.
I'm sorry, you broke up there.
That might go to a group out of Skagway, to the municipality of Skagway, because they're looking at getting, a more reliable transportation and more affordable transportation system set up in the Lynn Canal area between Skagway and Haines and Juneau. So, but the point of it is that things are definitely, Maria, looking a lot brighter for the marine highway system as we, compared to where they were 2 years ago, let's say. 2 years ago, we had the governor propose a budget that basically made the marine highway system not operable. If that budget would have gone forward, funding would have ran out for the marine highway system where that wouldn't have been able to have any ship activity, particularly in the winter months. Well, that we were able to avoid that, and we were able to fend that little thing off. But that was a real threat to the overall existence of the system. And so what I'd say now is that, definitely things are looking a lot brighter for the marine highway system than they were 2 years ago. With that said, I'm a concerned with the governor's budget in terms of he proposes funding both operations and capital budgets strictly out of federal money, which it sounds good and it's all fine and dandy, except what happens when that federal money goes away? Are we creating a fiscal cliff where, whether it's myself, Senator Stedman, or different legislators who are in office 3 years from now, whether they're going to have to go to their compatriots and say, no, we're not asking for new funding for the marine highway system. We're just asking for a return to funding from state dollars. When those federal dollars, which won't last forever, go away, we're concerned if we adopt this path of strictly funding the marine highway system with federal dollars, what happens when those federal dollars run out? And are we then going to be facing an uphill battle with the rest of the legislature? Because some would say, oh, we have this new addition to the marine highway system that we're going to now suddenly have to start funding. Well, that's not actually accurate. It's not new. We've always funded it. But because we've had this luxury now, I'm concerned a little bit about what might happen 3 or 4 years ago when that federal funding, not years ago, but into the future, when that federal funding goes away. But that's just a detail that, I'll continue to work on. But anyway, to summarize, definitely things are looking a lot better for the marine highway system. Might as well update you on the situation with Prince Rupert.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah. Lots of concern from constituents throughout southern Southeast Alaska about the need for the marine highway system to get back to Prince Rupert. From the very get-go, I've been working on that particular issue, traveled down with the Department of Transportation a couple of years ago, back before COVID, where we were starting to address some of those issues. I was invited and allowed to come back, go down to Prince Rupert and work on those particular hurdles. Like there's some things there. One of the things is the ramp that is in our current marine highway terminal is quite aged and needs to be addressed and And of course, that's nothing new. And I think you remember there was discussion about, okay, if you do that, you have to use Canadian steel if you listen to the Canadians. Or no, if you listen to the U.S. government, no, you have to do that with U.S. steel. And that was an issue. And then other issues would be like, how are you going to update the marine terminal, our current ferry terminal down there, to coincide with the new United States-Canada land air marine agreement that was in existence and had to do with security concerns and things like that. So changes were going to have to be made to the marine highway or to the marine highway ferry terminal to comply with that, which would require money. You know, one of the things that would need to have happened or that will happen is to provide a safekeeping place for U.S. customs officials for their weapons. When they travel down to Canada, they weren't allowed and they are not going to be allowed to take their weapons with them to their hotel room. They need to have a safekeeping place. So they needed to have money for a safe where they could keep their weapons. Just things like that, that were things that were kind of getting in the way before COVID. And then once COVID hit, then things really got to be complicated because we couldn't even send down the U.S. Customs people and or people, Alaska State people from the Alaska State Department of Transportation to talk to the Canadians because we couldn't even get into Prince Rupert because of COVID restrictions. So with that all said, progress has been made. The Marine Highway System has publicly stated that they are committed to returning to Prince Rupert by May 1st of 2022, this upcoming spring. But there's still some hurdles there and they've still got to, you know, go back and address some of those other issues that I just spoke about and get deals worked out on those particular issues. Deals were in the works and things were looking positive, but now we have a new commissioner who traveled down with me 2 years ago. And so he's got to be updated. And then there's some things that have to happen in person. So we still have to kind of, everybody's struggling with Omicron now. And so we still have to get by those barriers in order for us to meet that that May 1st deadline. But I am convinced that everything I'm hearing from the Department of Transportation is that they are committed. I'm also hearing that the U.S. Customs officials people are committed to continue to send their people down to Prince Rupert so that, you know, those folks that are boarding an Alaska Marine Highway System can be cleared by U.S. Customs officials down there. And so I think everybody's on board, but there's still some hurdles to be addressed so that we can try and make that May 1st deadline.
Okay. And unfortunately, we are out of time. Yes, time flies. Just have about maybe a minute left. Is there anything that just burning that you want to let people know?
You know, one of the things is the fish board meetings, you know, that's been a big issue. First, they were going to be in Ketchikan in January, then they got canceled because of COVID. Then we had the announcement that they're going to be moved to Anchorage in March. And then once that happened, I worked real hard on trying to change the minds and make sure that everybody understood that, you know, we are going to make facilities available in Ketchikan. And I have my hats off to the folks at the Ted Ferry Center and the Ketchikan City for doing the legwork and helping make sure to guarantee to the Fish Board that, no, if you want to come back to Ketchikan in March, that facility will be open. And we have given them those assurances now. And again, thanks to the planners at the Ted Ferry Center and to the Ketchikan City government for making that happen. But I'm calling on folks. The Fish Board still hasn't committed to coming back to Ketchikan, and they're having a meeting on
Thursday
of this week to decide finally once and for all. And folks should weigh in. If they go to my Facebook website, my representative website, tells them how they can weigh in and encourage the Fish Board to make the decision to return the Fish Board meetings to Ketchikan in March. I'm asking everybody who's listening who has an interest in that to let their voices be heard and to encourage the Fish Board to make that decision.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time and good luck with this session.
Hey, thank you, Maria. Thank you for the opportunity. And my office is always open. Never hesitate to give me a call, Maria, if you want to continue our discussions. I'm going to be available, and that's my job, is to be available to the constituents throughout the district, now District 1, I guess. And so, yeah,
Is it officially District 1 yet? Or?
No, it's not officially District 1 yet. There's still some court challenges and some things that are happening yet. But from what I understand, that even if those court challenges move forward, it's not likely that District 1, the way that they originally put it forward, or the way that they ended up deciding on putting it forward, I don't expect there to be much changes in the District 1 makeup, nor do I expect the name to change. But you never know, because it's not official yet.
Okay. All right. I think coming up in the fall, it will be technically official. Well, again, thank you, Representative Ortiz, for joining us this morning. And we will check in the future and get further updates. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maria. You bet. Thank you.
Again, Representative Dan Ortiz joining us from Juneau.